so we can, you know, just actually learn to hear God's voice and understand how God speaks to us. And what I'd first of all like to do is to establish from the Bible, I mean, the absolute certainty that this is just a basic fundamental for the Christian life. Now, let me just go over a couple of things here. Why it's necessary to hear God. Well, first of all, you can't have communication with somebody you can't hear. And if we're going to love God and learn to love God, we've not only got to talk to God, we've got to hear God. So let's say that the first purpose of hearing is communion. Right? And that's just another word for making love on a spiritual level. I mean, if I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, I can't do all the talking. He's got to do some of it, and I've got to do some listening. Okay, the second reason why I've got to learn to hear God's voice is this. I mean, if I want to do God's will, how in the world am I going to know what God's will is unless I hear God speak? There are very, very few things you're going to be able to go to the Bible and find the answer for. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the actual answer, you can find some principles. But, for instance, many of you will be graduating, and what job should you take? You can search the Bible from now to doomsday and never get the answer. Should you go to work with this company in Texas, or this company in Kansas, or this company in Oklahoma? I mean, you can wait 5,000 years, and you'll never get the answer out of the Bible. And, of course, it'd be very important. You know, the most two important things you ever do is the job you have and the person you marry. That's where you spend 95% of your time. If you're a born-again Christian filled with the Holy Spirit and you marry right and get in the right job, you're almost safely home as far as the two basics are concerned in your life. Now, if you blow any one of those two, you're in trouble. I mean, you are in trouble. It's going to be a struggle all the way. And because you have missed the best. Okay, I mean, you know, so should I marry this girl? Should I even ask her to marry? You got to hear God. You can search the Bible from now to doomsday. And you ought to know that emotions are not very trustworthy right now. I mean, your emotions can go up or down and things like that, you know. And you know, Shakespeare said that behind many a pretty face there lies a devil. So you can't go by what the face looks like. And so in order to find God's will, we'll put guidance. Number three, one of the most important things in hearing God's voice is to allow God to interpret a situation for you. One of the best things in prayer is this. Hey, for instance, I'll give you an illustration. When my oldest daughter was in junior high school, she was full of the devil. I mean, that's putting it mildly. She just gave everybody a holy fit. She was big and fat and sloppy to begin with. And then she was irritable and contentious and hateful and strong-willed. You put a strong will with all of that, and you know, I mean, you just have a pain in the neck. Now, it's very easy for a mother and father like myself and my wife to go to God with a very long shopping list for Susan. I mean, it ain't hard to go to God with a list that long and tell him what he needs to do for Susan, right? I mean, it's very, very easy to do. But see, my wife, who's perhaps the best prayer I know, went to God and said, "What's wrong with Susan?" And God said to her something she says she'd never believed in 10,000 years. God said to her, "Susan does not believe you love her as much as you love her brother." And my wife said to God, "God, that isn't true." And God said, "I know it isn't true, and you know it isn't true, but Susan doesn't know it's true." So my wife said, "Well, how can I start to show Susan that I love her?" She'd pray that prayer every day when she got up. And the Lord would say things to her like this, really high religious things like this: "Don't buy groceries till she gets home from school." And my wife just started to walk out in obedience to God, his day-by-day instructions in how to show Susan that she loved her, like, "Don't cook a cake till you come home, don't do this." And in 6 months, she is radically changed, and physically, psychologically, and spiritually, she's a tremendously beautiful woman. If she walked into this room, she's striking physically. I mean, you take, you know, you turn your head. She's the kind of person that you'd make you turn your head twice. And she has a tremendous personality and is walking with the Lord Jesus and has married a really wonderful spirit-filled man. But see, how could my wife have ever known that in 10,000 years? And so, if God hadn't interpreted the situation. So, in hearing God's voice, we're able to get God to interpret the situation for us. And then a fourth thing, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men and upbraideth not. If you want wisdom, and you're going to ask of God, you've got to be able to hear before you can get it. So, I want to say this to you, that hearing ought to be the most normal thing, the most normal thing in the average Christian's life. Now, you would agree with me if Jesus said something 15 times, that ought to be pretty powerful. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, let me tell you something he said 15 times. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear. Now, he said, first of all, you've got to have ears to hear. But if you've got ears to hear, choose to hear. Now, if you're born again and your spirit is alive, as I drew on here last night, you have spiritual ears to hear. Now, your next thing is to choose to hear. And that is a direct choice. And I want to talk to you today about hearing. But I'd like you to read some scriptures with me concerning hearing, so we'll be ensured that I'm not making up some stuff for good entertainment this morning. Let's start in Luke chapter 8. I want to say this to you, that the parable of the sower, that everybody calls the parable of the sower, is a parable in hearing. And I haven't got time to get into all the details of that this morning. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through about 32, is Jesus' basic lecture on how to hear. Mark 1, 4, 1 through 32. Now look in Luke 8 with me, and we'll start reading in verse 18, which is at the end of the parable of the sower in Luke. Therefore, take care how you listen. Let me say this to you. Everything you hear affects you. Don't think that you can watch a raunchy program or a movie or something and it not affect you. Don't think so. Any more than you can pour a little poison into the water and drink it and it not affect you. And young people, I want to tell you something that I hope will be helpful to you. Moral and spiritual harvest take 10 years to bear fruit, either good or bad, full fruit. I mean, if I commit a bad moral act today, I will probably not reap the full harvest of that for 10 years. And I want to say this to you. Just asking God to forgive you doesn't keep you from reaping the harvest after. God will forgive you, but you still have to pick the fruit. Forgiveness does not mean that God eradicates all the results. That ought to be obvious to you. And on the other hand, choices that you make today for Jesus Christ, you won't get the full benefit of them next week. It even takes radishes 6 weeks to grow. And corn 6 months or whatever it is. But it takes a moral and spiritual harvest about 10 years to grow. I mean to where you're really pulling the fruit off of it. And enjoying the benefits of it. And that's true about anything in life. In the moral and spiritual realm. So you need to remember that. And see, you can listen to something today or read something or let something inside of you into your inner man and feel like it hasn't affected you, and it hasn't, because it's just dropped in an acorn form. But when it grows into oak tree form, it's going to affect you. Does that make sense? You see, there's a law of the harvest. Let me give it to you. Oh, I know you all out here, and a lot of you are from farm country, but I don't think you know the law of the harvest. And here's what it is. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, but you reap later than you sow. Let me give that to you again. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. And I'm telling you that much of the harvest is 10 years later. The big harvest is 10 years later. And those that sow to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, lots of it. Not all now, not much now, down the road. Those that sow to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Not right now, most of it down the road, and you can really get it. So, you see, you need to understand how we are built as human beings, so you'll get the most of it. Now, you take care how you listen. Every time you listen to stuff, you're putting seeds in the soul. And most of them are going to grow. If you plant sand spurs, you'll get sand spurs. If you plant wheat, you'll get wheat. I mean, you can't lose. You can't lose. This is not a gamble up for grabs. This is not, life is not like rolling dice hoping the right numbers are going to come up. You and I determine our destiny. And I'm talking about the destiny of 10 years down the road. So take care how you listen. And then here's a law that most people didn't realize was in the Bible. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, listen. The American proverb that goes along with this goes like this. The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. And that's exactly what that says. Now, listen what this is saying. The man who listens right will get more to hear. But the person who refuses to listen will hear less and less and less and less. For instance, it says, today, if you will hear his voice. Three times in two chapters it gives this verse. Harden not your heart. If you refuse to hear his voice, you harden your heart. And I want to be saying a little bit more about this later. Now, let's go on and read. And his mother came to him and his brothers also, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. He says, the characteristic of people who belong to my family is not physical generation. The characteristic is that we have one thing in common. We hear what God has to say and do it. If you hear what God says and does it, you're a part of my family. In other words, one of the main characteristics that you belong to God's family is not that you have your name on a 3x5 card in some church office. It's that you hear the will of God and do it. You see, the thing that characterized Jesus more than anything else was that he heard the will of God and did it. Now, let's look in Luke 11. He was preaching and some woman got excited. She looked at him and this is what she said in verse 27. And it came about while he said these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. She looked at Jesus and she said, wow, I'd like to have a son like you. How blessed. I tell you something, it must have been, I think it's, the Bible says, and Protestants are a little shabby on this, all generations shall call Mary blessed. That's what the scripture says. All, and you see, most of us are ditchers. If one group perverts the truth over in one ditch, we go over to the other extreme. We won't have anything to do with Mary because we feel like our Catholic brothers take it too far. Now listen, we need to get in the center of the road. All generations shall call her blessed. Now, this woman said, blessed is the woman who bore you and the breasts at which you sucked. What a wonderful thing it was to be your mother. And I think everybody would have to say amen to that, that God would choose a woman to bring his son into this world. How blessed is that woman? But look what Jesus' response to this is in verse 28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. He said, you think Mary is blessed? She was blessed. But listen, you can be equally blessed. How? By hearing the word of God and doing it. And you know, all that Mary did was this. She heard the word of God and did it. The angel came to her and said, God wants to use your body to bring the Messiah into the world. And she said, ah, great, go ahead and use it. She heard the word of God and did it. And you can be as equally blessed. None of us, none of you women can ever bring the Messiah into the world, the Christ into the world in the way that Mary did. But you can be as blessed by hearing the word of God and doing it. Did you read that? Is it in your Bible? Huh? You all look a little sleepy. Just nod every now and then. It's encouraging. Now, Doesn't that excite you? I'm finding out that, you know, the things that nobody ever taught me, nobody ever taught me to receive. The Bible says in order to succeed, you got to receive. Nobody ever taught me to hear. One of the biggest problems in the world today is hearing. Everybody knows how to speak, nobody knows how to hear, so we have a continual problem. And the Bible has, somebody said you ought to learn how to hear. You got two ears and one mouth, which meant you ought to listen twice as much as you talk. But the Bible has an awful lot to say about hearing. Now let's look in John 10. Now, I'm not going to read the 15 times when Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, I want to talk to you about the three ways that God communicates with us. And one is conscience. When I write real bad, I'm not sure I'm spelling it right. The other is intuition. And the third is communion. Now, let me say this to you. These are all capacities of a spirit that is alive. Now, I want to spend very little time on these first two, and I want to get to number three, but I do want to get to these first two. Now, let me give you the first advice. Never transgress your conscience. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. And this is especially true for you right now. You all are gathered here from different communities. And every community has its no-nos and its yes-yes is right in religious life. I mean, you know, they're so varying. Where I was raised, a pack of cards was the devil's toolbox, literally. A good Christian would not have touched, and you say, "That's stupid." Well, irregardless of that, that's what it was taught, and I could go on and on and on. Now, when you get together in a university like this, where different people come in from different places, your program has been programmed. Now, let me say to you, I'm not saying don't get your conscience changed, but I say don't transgress your conscience until it is changed. You see, if you override your conscience because your roommates or your friends say, "Hey, don't be so narrow-minded, come go do this with us." If you override your conscience, you're going to dull the edge of conscience, and you are going to hurt yourself irreparably if you keep overriding your conscience. Now, the way to handle it is this. Let's say you've been taught all your life that X is wrong. And let's say your four friends want to go do X. And they say, "We don't see anything wrong with this." Now, the first thing is you don't condemn them. You let them go. That's between them and God. But the second thing is this. You do not go with them until you have settled it something like this. "God, you know, tell me. Is X wrong for me?" And you work this thing out with God, and you're going to need communion to work this thing out with God. You see, our conscience is much like a thermostat. It's wherever it's been set. But you need, listen, if you're going to walk, the conscience is a mechanism that God has given us to let us know when we are transgressing the bounds that we have set up or have been set up for us. Do not transgress your conscience. Whatever else you do. Now ask God, "God, what those..." Now, I immediately got arrested. He told me, you see, he was getting his PhD in crickets. He told me that he could hear 200 different kinds of crickets with his ears and tell what they were saying. Now, what's the difference between him and me? Here's the basic difference. Crickets to me are a pain in the neck to be stepped on. Listen, crickets to him were absolutely vital to reach his goal. His heart was full of cricket. There isn't a cricket in my heart. You don't hear with your ears, you hear with your heart. You see, every advertiser knows that a person hears and sees what their heart is full of. And you see, this guy's heart was full of crickets because his goal in life was to get a PhD from the University of Florida. And so his heart was full of crickets, and whenever a cricket cricketed, he immediately perked up. Now listen to me. If the will of God is absolutely vital to you, that is the basis of hearing God speak. Now, let me give you another illustration that happened on the same sidewalk. This was when I had five or six family members home. We usually kept somebody, some boy or girl or something in our home beside our own family. We had five or six people living in our home at this time. And I want to testify that my family has not 1 ounce of yard work in their heart. I mean, not that much. So one Monday morning, one of the limbs had broken off in one of these trees where this guy had heard the crickets, you know, over here where the 24 crickets were. A limb had broken off, about that long, about that big around. And so I thought, I'll lay it on the sidewalk and see who cares enough to pick it up. Now, this limb covered half the sidewalk. I mean, laid long ways, it covered half the sidewalk. Well, all day Monday, everybody came in and out. All day Tuesday, everybody came in and out. Until noon on Wednesday, everybody came in and out, and I was going to catch a plane at 3 o'clock, and I decided I need to do something. Now, I got me a dollar bill and a piece of scotch tape, and I scotch taped the dollar bill to the limb. Do you know that in 10 minutes somebody had picked it up? Now, let me tell you what I'm trying to say to you. Listen to me. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. Did they see that thing? Yes. But no yard work in your heart does not make you respond to yard work down there, right? So you can walk right by it. You see it, but you don't see it. On the other hand, I can testify that every one of my children have had their heart full of dollar bills. Now listen. You see, the dollar bill down there rang a bell in here. I want to tell you something. Whether you know it or not, you're hearing God all the time. But I tell you something. When you don't want God's will, you bypass it like they bypassed that limb. When you love God's will as much as you love dollar bills, you'll see God's will and reach out to pick it up. Am I making sense to you? Am I making sense to you? Okay, now, let me tell you what I'm saying. If the most important thing in your life is hearing God speak, knowing God's will, you won't have any trouble. So you see, to make loving the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and soul and strength your goal, not a sideline, not a make it the major of your life. What do you call a subject that you sort of take to fill up? An elective. If it's your major and not your elective, you'll be able to hear God easily. He's probably, I'm going to talk to you about how God's voice comes. Now the third thing. There's a law in life that goes like this. If you don't express what is impressed, you lose your ability to be impressed. Now, let me illustrate this. I can illustrate it better than I can give it. If you don't express what is impressed, you lose your ability to be impressed. Have you ever talked to anybody who lives near an airport? And you say to them something like this, how do you live with all this noise? I'll tell you how they're going to answer. We don't hear it. And you'll wonder, how in God's name could anybody not hear this? I'll tell you why they don't hear it. Because when they first moved there and they heard the roar of the plane, they didn't respond to it. They didn't give any expression to it. This is true if you live by a railroad track. You see, the more I give an expression, that's why I always take notes when I'm listening to a message, even if I throw them away afterwards, I'm giving an expression to an impression. Somebody's saying something to me and I'm giving an expression, right? I'm writing that down. If you give an expression to an impression, you become more impressionable. Now, let me put it this way. If a person living by the railroad track, every time they heard a train, would get down on their knees and start praying, they would begin to hear those trains further and further and further and further and further away. Their sensitivity to hearing trains is increased when they hear a train and do something. Am I making sense? Now, when you hear God's voice and do something, it automatically makes you more sensitive to hearing it the next time. Now, I suppose it's not a very good illustration to tell for Baptist preacher, but anyway, I read an article on wine tasters. And this guy said an amazing thing. He says everybody has the same taste buds. He says what makes a good wine taster a good wine taster is this. He never tastes wine without writing down his impressions. Too tart, too sweet, just right. Whenever he tastes wine, he expresses it, and his expression of the taste of the wine makes him more impressionable to the next wine he'll taste. You see, he gives a definite expression to the impression on his taste buds, and he automatically becomes more sensitive to it. That's why the scripture says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you don't hear his voice, you harden your heart. And hearing God's voice means doing what he says. It doesn't mean saying, that was a nice sermon. Now, let me tell you a few characteristics of God's voice. Number one, it's usually soft and gentle. Number two, it's leading, not pushing. God, if God wanted to push you, he could easily do it. He won't push you. Now, when you hear a voice say, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it quick, quickly, quickly, it's probably not God at all. Listen, you need to understand this. God will not push you. He will lead you. And there is a difference. And he will say, hey, I want you to walk this way. Come here, right through here. I want you to go over and visit that girl in 345. He won't make you do it. He won't get behind you and force you to do it. Whenever you feel a pushy voice, it is probably the devil. Okay? Now, another thing about God's voice is this, it's specific. God will never say, you are sinning, you are sinning, you are sinning. What did I do? I'm not going to tell you you're sinning, you're sinning, you're sinning. Listen, whenever you feel that on you, it's the devil bringing condemnation. When you say, God, what did I do wrong? He'll say, well, you spoke pretty nastily to your mother, or you haven't written your mother in 4 weeks. That's a little more practical, right? And I told you to honor your mother and father. Write them. You see what I mean? It's specific. Right. Number four, it's practical. I very seriously doubt God will be talking to a whole lot of you about going to Africa right now. Or China. He'll be saying, go across to the next dormitory. And I want to put another word here with practical. It's usually simple. 99% of the things God says to us, we don't think it's God saying because they're so simple. Like, right, mama? They're very, very simple things. Call so-and-so on the phone. Invite so-and-so. You see, here's a lonely girl in the dormitory whose heart is aching for companionship. And God might say to you, why don't you go take her for a hamburger instead of that popular girl that you really like to be with? I mean, just a simple. No, you see, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us in English because most of us speak English, and He speaks in the mind. Now listen, here am I praying. Or sitting in the dormitory, I don't even have to be praying. And I'm thinking about, well, I think I'll go get a Coke and a hamburger. And into my mind comes the name, Susie Smith. Now, in all probability, God is saying to me, God knew I was planning on going and getting a hamburger, and God just saying to me, hey, why don't you take Susie Smith with you? Now listen, for the Christian who is living the normal Christian life, the first voice you hear is usually God, the second is the devil. Now, one of the ways that you can tell the difference between God's voice and the devil's voice is God just gives a simple command. The devil does a lot of reasoning. And you'll hear something like this. Well, Susie Smith doesn't want to go with you. Or it'll say, you remember how Susie Smith treated you the last time you asked her? God's voice in the normal Christian life is usually the first voice you hear. And you're not going to hear an audible voice like mine. God's the Spirit. He speaks to us in spirit, but He has to speak in our minds. You see, Susie Smith comes to my mind. I just have to assume God wants me to do something with Susie Smith. And so I say, God, I was going to go get a hamburger. And Susie Smith just came to my mind. What did you want? Invite her to go with you. Formed in my mind. It might be formed in a picture. But it's formed in my mind. And I'd say, okay. Now, somebody says this. Suppose you're not sure that it's God speaking. Well, why don't you treat God like a person? If you said something to me and I wasn't sure that you said something to me, I'd say, did you say that to me? I mean, you know, God's a person. Treat Him like a person. And you'll get a yes or a no. And then just go ahead and do it. Now you say, suppose I miss God's will. Well, suppose you do. If you don't listen to God's voice, you're going to miss it all the time. Now, you realize the guy that hit the most in baseball last year missed 6 out of every 10 times? I mean, the greatest hitter in baseball last year. The greatest hitter. Was it George Brett, right? He missed a little bit more than 6 out of every 10 times. Now, listen to me. When you listen to the Spirit and obey, you're going to have 99% ordinary, everyday things, because that's where we all live. And about 1% sensational things. Let me give you a sensational one. I was laying in a motel one night, and in my heart were formed these words, get up and go up to the office. It was 11 o'clock at night, it was 10:30 at night, I've been traveling all day. And I tried to shake off God, you know, I tried to put my head under the pillow. I was laying there in my underwear. My wife was going, I didn't want to go. Now God knew I was tired. You know, God's so reasonable and good. He knew He was going to have a little battle with me, so He started 30 minutes ahead of time. You know, I just come back from a conference where I said, God, I want to do Your will. You know? And what I should have said, if it's convenient and I like it. You know? But anyway, after about 15 minutes, I realized I was either going to disobey God or get up and go up to the motel room. And I thought He wanted me to the motel office. I thought He wanted me to witness to the two guys. This is 11, you know. So by the time I got dressed and got there, it was 11 o'clock at night. It was a Howard Johnson's motel. And now remember, I'm telling you the 1%, right? Okay? and I saw somebody checking in. But I've got enough sense to know. God, you know, something God don't have to tell you to use some ordinary common sense. You don't witness to the guys behind the desk while somebody's checking in. So I thought, I'll just wait till he gets out. Now, you know how long it takes to check into a motel, 3 or 4 minutes. And so I just walked around outside and I noticed the tag on the guy's car checking in was from the same county I was from. So I thought I'd introduce myself. And when he came out the door, I said, I'm Peter Lord, I'm from Titusville, and I'm a Baptist minister. And he gripped me and said, you're the very guy I need to talk to. And he took me down to his room and I talked to him for a whole hour. He was a guy in deep trouble and heavily burdened. Now, I know what had happened. Now, and he told me later, you know, he said, I've been meaning to stop long before 11 o'clock at night, but something kept pushing me up the road till I came to this motel. Now, let me tell you what happened. Driving up I-95 was a guy saying, God, I need help, I need help. And so God said, let me see if I can get to help you. Ah, there's Peter Lord, right on I-95. He's been telling me this week how much he loves me. Oh, you know that couldn't happen in 1,000 years. Let me give you 2 more quick illustrations about the number 1%. One night I was out visiting, and I ran out of names. I find out that I have to take twice as many names when I go visiting as I plan to visit because the people just won't be home. So I ran out of names. I said, who you want me to visit? And he gave me the vision of a man. I didn't know his name, but I knew my wife knew his name. So I called my wife, and I said, honey, and I described this man's wife. She said, oh, his name's Lee Deschler. I said, look up his address. I want to go visit him. And I looked up his address. And she looked up the address, told me over the phone. I went to see him. When I got there, they were sitting in the living room waiting on me. Now, what had happened was this. Early in the day, he'd called my secretary and said, would you please send the preacher out here to see me tonight? I need to talk to him. But I hadn't gone back to the office. And so when I said, who do you want me to see? Well, I mean, who else? And he's sitting there, and in 10 minutes, he'd received Christ. He was like a ripe peach waiting to drop off. I mean, you know, I mean, I that's the way it happened. Another day I was out visiting, and I ran out of visit. I said, Lord, which way shall I turn? I don't often ask the Lord which way to turn. And he said, turn right, and I went down this street and came by a dentist's house. And I felt impressed to turn in and go call the kids to see how they were doing. Miss Lord was out of town. And when I got in, the dentist and his family were having supper. And I got on the phone. Now, see, this wasn't conscious. It was just life flowing. Are you with me? A lot of times it isn't consciousness. I wasn't conscious at this juncture that God was leading me. I was just following the impression of my mind. And I realized, and while I was on the phone calling home, I said, Dick, how would you like to teach Sunday school next year? And you know what he told me? He said, yes. And then he told me this. He said, this morning I got down in my office and I said, God, if you want me to teach Sunday school this next year, send somebody by to ask me. Yeah. Now that's the 1%. The 99% is stuff like this. Take your little boy out and play with him. Write a letter to your mama. Rub your wife's back, it's hurting. Yeah. Very practical, the Holy Ghost. Very down to earth. Lives right down here where we live. Love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Means rubbing her back sometimes when it's hurting. Wash the dishes tonight for that sort of stuff I don't like to hear. You know, I get up in the mornings and I say, oh, God, let me love my wife. And then when he gives me all this little practical stuff that really what loving is all about, you know, I have a tendency to poo-hoo it. That's the 99%. Now, let's see if we can hear God speak. Are you ready? Now, The reason we close our eyes when we pray, there's nothing sacred in closing eyes. But let me tell you what we do when we close our eyes. I want to try to help you. Is that we close out other distractions and we can give God more attention, right? Does that make sense to you? You know, that's why we close our eyes. I'm very easily distracted. But if we close our eyes, we're closing out the big valve that lets most things in. Now, let's all close our eyes. Now, I want you to ask God some questions. And the first question is that I want you to say to Him, is this? Now, close your eyes. I want you to say in your mind, now direct it to Him, get in a posture, spiritual posture. We can just talk to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, do You love me? Then, I want you to ask Him this question. Now, I want you to get the answers. I want some of you to share the answers with us right now. I want you to ask Him this. Lord Jesus, how much do You love me? Okay, look this way. Now, those of you that He said, yes, I love you, and when you asked Him how much He loved you, I just want you to get up and share the answer you got in your mind. We're here with our minds. Whether it's physical, sound, or spiritual. Okay, tell us. Okay, great. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Okay, good. Did anybody get any words? What did you hear? Ah, good. Okay, sister. She give everybody different answers. Okay, brother. Ah, good. Okay, good. Talk to her in language she can understand, see? You see, He's so individual. He's not the type that would give everybody the same answer. Yes. Gave you what? Okay, gave you a hug. You can actually feel a spiritual hug sometimes. Now, this ought to be normal. Prayer life ought to be a communication with God. I was asking God about a tough situation I'm going through this morning. I said, what should I do? He said, nothing today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough to do today without worrying about that. That's tomorrow's business. That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? Eh? Now, I can choose to worry about this thing today, or I can choose to accept God's word and say, hey, this is not today's business. Leave that to me to another time. Now, let me say this to you. If I never heard from God, I'd begin to wonder where I was. Now, those of you that didn't, let's go back to closing our eyes. Those of you that didn't hear from God, why don't you just ask Him right now, God, why didn't I hear what You said? Or why didn't You answer me? Or why didn't I hear? Might be one of the two. Why don't you ask God that right now? Now, He's told you something. Some of you's told something. A lot of you's told something, some of you heard it. Now, I want us to try one more thing. I want you to say to Him, Lord Jesus, is there anything You want to say to me right now? Just ask Him that. Okay? You have your attention. How many of you got an answer when He said to you? The answer might have been lots of times to say, Lord, is there anything You want to say to me? He says, no, I haven't gotten to say to You right now. That's an answer, right? Listen, in the psalmist, it says this. The psalmist says, God, Don't be silent to me, lest I be like the heathen. You know, the one thing about the heathen is they never hear from God. And the psalmist recognized that, hey, the silence of God is the most terrible thing in all the world. Now, how many of you, when you said, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me, had you got an answer of some kind? Let me see your hand. Okay, well, that's the rest of you being honest. That's good. Well, see, there are enough people in here to testify to say that they can hear. Now, I am saying to you that the greatest and most important ability of the Christian is to be able to hear the Word of God. And some of you, if you heard God right, said something to you like this, the reason I didn't speak to you is the last times I spoke to you, you didn't listen. Now let me just close with this. Our God has earned his reputation for mercy and forgiveness. That's how he's got his big reputation. And if you are in a posture, spiritual posture, where God's voice is just, it isn't real to you, you can't hear it. Either one or two things are true. Your heart has become harder. You're not a Christian. And God wants to take care of both of those if you let him. Because he's in the forgiveness business, and he's earned his reputation by being a forgiving God and a merciful God and a kind God. And he is willing to restore the years that the locust have eaten. He is willing to take you and change you and transform you into one who can hear. Now listen. Would you keep speaking to a person who didn't listen to what you had to say? Probably not. But I tell you something. Those who hear shall more be given. But those who do not hear, even that which they hear shall be taken away from them. That's a law of life. It says that 3 or 4 times in Scripture in the New Testament. The greatest thing in all the world is God's will. I can't do it unless I hear it. And you see, every time God speaks to me, he doesn't tell me to do something. Many times, like some brother said, he just hugs me and says, I love you. Boy, that's great. You know, when I tell my wife I love her, you know what I'm listening for? I love you too. When I tell God I love him and he answers me back, I know there is that security of hearing from him that we all need in this world in which we live. To walk in the Spirit means that I walk according to the conscience, walk according to the intuition, and walk always ready to listen to what God has to say to me. And when God doesn't want me to do doesn't have anything to say, I can just go ahead and walk, trusting that my spirit and his spirit, when I go wrong, will let me know, just like my body lets me know when I go wrong. And to walk without any intimidation, to walk without any fear, to realize that sometimes God just wants you to go to a football game and have a good time, and sometimes he wants you to go to a Bible conference and have a good time, and sometimes he just wants you to lay in the grass and look up the sky and have a good time. Sometimes he wants you to work hard so you can develop your muscle. But like a good father that he is, he's going to communicate with his children. And if we obey him, we'll get the very, very best in life. Teach us to listen, Lord. To listen with the one intent of obeying when you give an order and responding when you ask a question. Teach us to hear. Teach us not to be intimidated by the voice of the enemy, the liar, the deceiver, the confuser, the accuser. We thank you that you never accuse. You convict and lead and forgive and guide. May we get to know your voice better than the voice of any other person we know. In Jesus' name, amen.